Welcome to the Implicit Bias podcast series presented by the University of Minnesota Medical School Department of Orthopedic Surgery, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee, in partnership with the Medical School Office of DEI.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Dr. Alicia Harrison, an orthopedic surgeon in the Department of Orthopedic Surgery at the University of Minnesota and the residency program director in our department. I welcome listeners to this multi-episode series focused on implicit bias. Throughout this five-part series, we've been talking with ODEI staff about implicit bias and how our own biases impact search and selection committees. And we've previously spent some time talking about key aspects like race and gender. Today, I'm joined by Anna Lander and Matt and Shania. Welcome back. I'd like to invite Anna to give a little background on her role in our department, which is really vital to our selection process.
Thank you, Dr. Harrison. Again, my name is Anna. I am the residency coordinator at the Department of Orthopedic Surgery at the University of Minnesota. I've been in my role since April of 2022. However, I've worked in education in multiple different facets since completing my undergraduate education in 2012. So thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Thanks, Anna. So our group here has spent a little bit of time talking about the selection process and the evolution of residency selection. So one of the things that we were speaking about was having a holistic review process. So Matt and Shania, could you speak to that a little bit in terms of what you feel represents a holistic review process?
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Harrison. I can get us started. You know, I think it's good to start with what is holistic review and ground our conversation, and I look forward to seeing where our discussion goes today. So when we say holistic review, that really is referring to a mission-aligned admissions and selection process. And what it's really doing is taking into consideration an applicant's experiences, attributes, and academic metrics, as well as the value that this applicant will contribute to our learning community, as well as the practice and the teaching and what they're going to contribute to the overall profession. So holistic review allows admission committees to consider the whole applicant, whole with a W, you know, rather than disproportionately focusing on one factor, such as test scores, so that you're seeing a full picture of the applicant's strengths and also their opportunities for growth and what they can do once they're part of our community.
And maybe just to add to that, and thanks, Shania, that's a great, perfect summary of that. You know, when you think about holistic, you think about comprehensive, right? And really equity falls in that's really the E in DEI is how can we provide equitable opportunities for all people. And, you know, when we're in search and selection committee, you know, we want to think about how can we promote a diverse workforce and have diversity within our faculty and within our staff and within our students, you know, at all levels within the healthcare field that also reflects the patients who come in our doors. And so part of ensuring that we have a proper holistic review process is ensuring that we're looking at why candidates want to be admitted into a program. We find out what their research interests are, and we figure out what their experiences are, their lived experiences and the connections they have to community, volunteer work they've done, et cetera. So we're looking, you know, like Shania said, like more than just a test score, right? We're looking at the whole applicant. We're looking at multiple facets of who these people are so that we can best figure out how they might fit in with our healthcare system as a whole.
That's fantastic. And I think that those points are really important. One of my stated objectives, at least as the program director for our residency, is that I hope that our residency program and eventually our profession of orthopedic surgery is seen as representing the patients that we are serving. And my hope is that our patients see themselves in their surgeons, and that they see a place for themselves in our profession. And so I think the holistic process is something that we really do try to to do so that we can find a very diverse group of applicants and candidates so that those people can help our profession become more like the patients that they are serving. I was saying before, I have no assumptions that I'm doing it right or that we are doing it the only way that is the right way. But I think that what we have done in recent years in changing our process is something or a mechanism that looks at many more attributes of the candidate than just their test scores or whether they're in AOA or whether they got honors on their general surgery rotation. And so I think many of the program directors around the country, probably not just in orthopedics, but in other fields, are looking at how they should change their process to make it a more holistic review. Do you have advice for those program directors and if they're looking to make their process more holistic and what kind of things that they should be doing or changing how they review applications?
Yeah, definitely. I can get us started with that. You know, it really does start with your mission. What is your mission and what is the institution's connection to the community? And how are you hoping to accomplish the work in which your organization is set out to do? And so looking at your mission and then seeking out those candidates, right? So everything, I want to underscore everything that Matt has said around equity and how we're taking into account the lived experience, because outside of the accolades of getting the perfect test scores, we really are trying to get at what is the passion? What is driving folks to want to be in these fields? Because that's going to keep them, right? These are tough fields to be in, and burnout is definitely at an all-time high, especially in these recent years. And so that's also something that we have to definitely take into account. So when considering doing a holistic review process, if you're just starting, you not only should look at what organizations and folks have done previously, but what folks are considering now that, you know, we're trying to come out of a pandemic, we're dealing with racism and inequality all around. And so you may start to look at the candidate more holistically, take into account how their lives have been shaped by these recent events. Are they experiencing more financial stress? Do they have more responsibility as a caregiver in their household and having to care for their parents or children who may be ill? What does technology look like? So are you conducting Zoom interviews? And does the candidates you're interviewing have appropriate technology? Or are you providing the accessibility needed for them to participate in the interview equitably? So thinking about all of these things, and all of these things are what makes us human, right? And so these things are not going to go away. And so when we can think about them on the front end, then we're going to be able to retain our candidates because we're going to be thinking about these things as they are part of our community and beyond. And we're going to be teaching them best practices on how they can take care of themselves and their well-being along with those who they want to serve in the healthcare field.
Absolutely. And so many great points there, Shanae. And on top of that too, you know, I think maybe what's most difficult with all of those elements is that, you know, when you're looking at an application or meeting prospective students, you might not know any of these things. They might not be willing to share some of those aspects of their lives, you know, due to all sorts of circumstances, right? What sort of psychological safety, you know, maybe this is a question, you know, Dr. Harrison and Anna for you and your department really to reflect on is what sort of opportunities are we providing for students or prospective students, I should say, to feel prospective applicants to feel like there is that psychological safety to apply, to be part of this programming, to want to come into healthcare and to recognize that these things that may have held them back in other areas of their lives are not going to hold them back here or are not going to be held against them. And those are difficult questions, I think, on our end to address, just as much as it's difficult for potential candidates to share or to, you know, just to cope with themselves. And unfortunately, you know, kind of due to the the human nature of implicit bias. You know, our theme for this whole podcast series is implicit bias can absolutely come into play when it comes to these issues, and they might come up, and we might think certain things like, oh, well, this person has all these really great qualities, however, they don't fit into this box, or they don't fit these categories, or we have these other students that have these other elements that really make them rise above. And while that may be true, we can't easily write out folks who could do really well in this area and fill many other needs in healthcare, based on any sort of factors. So there's a lot to consider and a lot for teams to discuss. And that's kind of going back to what Shania was saying, just to kind of wrap up my part, is really thinking about what is our mission, what are our values that we have as a team, and how do we want to make sure that we are finding candidates who can fulfill that mission and ensure that we're going the right direction. So maybe to put the question back on you both, Anna and Dr. Harrison, are there things happening within orthopedics or within healthcare that you know of that are maybe helping to create this sort of sustainability and helping to create this sort of equity? Or maybe are there areas that you think you want to continue to grow in, or that you could see opportunity for growth?
I think one thing for myself is when I interact with applicants, especially during this application season, when there's a lot of emails coming in, we had over 750 applicants alone to our program this year. So that's a lot of communication. And as far as providing a space of, you know, psychological safety, I think it's really important that we make every single candidate feel welcome. Every single candidate gets a response to every email that they send. Even if it's not the news they're hoping to hear, for example, if they aren't able to get off of the wait list, et cetera. But I think giving them a response and saying your application is, while very commendable, we can't offer you a spot at this time. So a community of welcoming and recognizing applicants as they come to our program is really important in my role.
Yeah, and I think Anna has really been instrumental in how we have evaluated our application process. I think, as everyone here knows, the evolution of applications in the time of the pandemic and as we continue to try to figure out how best to do that, I think many programs are still struggling with wanting to be equitable and making sure that everyone has an opportunity. You know, we talk about Zoom and what is their accessibility of their Wi-Fi or a good location for them to do an interview from. But many programs also don't want to have residents take on the time and cost and all of the increased demands that come with having to do in-person interviews. So many programs have felt, in what way are we disadvantaging a group if we do it virtually or in person? And I think everyone has struggled to try to provide our program, at least. I know we've talked a lot about how do we provide the most equitable opportunity so that our interview process, once we have chosen or selected those to come interview, how do we make that process fair and provide everyone opportunity. But I think Anna's point, and she could speak to this too, is how do we message to the applicants how we are doing our application process? And I think letting those applicants know in many different ways through, you know, some of the social media avenues, you know, what our mission is. And so in telling the applicants, it is important to our department and our institution to improve the diversity and equity within our department and profession, that this is our mission and we will be moving forward, taking steps that we hope and have specifically designed to improve our process and our, and you know, the face of orthopedics. Some of the scholarships that we've done, reaching out through different groups. I don't know if Anna, you can speak to some of the ways that that we've reached out to potential applicants even before they apply.
Yeah, and I would, as a counter question to you, Dr. Harrison, I would also love to hear what you've done in your tenure as program director, how we have as a program changed our approach to holistic review as well.
Yeah, I think, well, it's been a team effort. Our selection committee and our education team, I think it's been really, really important. And a driving factor in our change has been having a lot of voices and different voices so that we can get different perspectives on how we do this. You know, many, many years ago, when I, first became faculty, it was just a small number of people that were reviewing a very large pool of applicants, and people were relying on things like board scores or their performance in one specific class or whether they were AOA or not. And I think we have transitioned as we have added many more voices to the selection committee, to looking at many different aspects of their application. Like you talk about, what are they passionate about? What have they been working on? Did they do some work with their home medical school on, serving their students or serving others during the pandemic? Or, what drives them? What are they excited about in our field? And is that an area where we can help support their professional growth? I don't presume to be, like I said, doing it perfectly, but I think that's why it's important that we have a lot of voices at the table so that I have checks and balances on whether my perspective is not open in one way or another. So that I think it's really, really important that we have faculty from different sites and different areas and different backgrounds. And I think that's helping us to move forward. Anna, do you have other thoughts about how maybe we've moved forward in welcoming those applicants to our program, or how we message to them what our mission is?
I think we do that through a lot of different avenues. I know we have several faculty who are really active on Twitter, on Med Twitter, and that makes a huge difference. We pull in a lot of candidates because of the relationships that are built with our faculty who are doing outreach through social media to applicants that we maybe would have never encountered before because they didn't have the opportunity to do an away rotation here. And so while Twitter might seem like a trivial piece, I think it's been really important. We've essentially been providing virtual mentorship through Twitter and getting to know candidates that we otherwise may not have had contact with. And I think that's been a really important piece that's come about, especially through the pandemic as well.
That's awesome. And to hear from both of you, it sounds like there are a lot of really good things happening right now from your department to ensure that those things are happening and to ensure that equitable practices are occurring. And I think continuing to have those conversations and being aware of the barriers and being aware of the areas where you need to continue to grow is extremely important in order to continue to try to close that gap, right? It's not just like we can check these boxes and be done and then say, hey, we're good to go now, so we don't have to worry anymore. We'll just keep going as is. Annie mentioned like Twitter. Yeah, you mentioned while that might feel trivial, that's a way to be engaged with students at in an area that is accessible to them and it's a modern practice, right? Reaching folks through social media. So that's just a cool way to get people to know that, hey, we're here, we're listening, we're willing to be engaged. And then on the back end, Dr. Harrison, you were talking about what we can do as a team, what you do as a team and as a department. that's especially critical to continue having those conversations and to ensure you're getting multiple perspectives in the room and having different conversations about what can we do and how can we make sure that we're keeping each other balanced. You know, those checks and balances, as you mentioned, that's essentially like that holistic review practice is going to be critical in continuing to have conversations and not just one and done.
Thanks, Matt. And I think one other thing that is really important when we talk about holistic review is there's a difference between what feels fair to the selection committee and what feels fair to our applicants. For example, I think it's really tempting to do a blinded review, right? Where you take out all of the applicants' gender identities that they identify with, take out the schools that they've attended, take out some of these kind of big identifying factors, race, et cetera, and then look at the pool that way. That might feel fair to the selection committee. However, there's a difference between what's fair and what's right. And for like a perfect example I can think of for this 2022-23 selection committee year is, you know, there was a huge hurricane in Puerto Rico. And I know for a fact there are students applying from Puerto Rico to programs all across our graduate medical education program at the University of Minnesota. And so deadlines might have been missed. They didn't have internet for several days at a time. And so if we did not take those things into consideration, those applicants might look like they don't have good time management skills, et cetera, when that is clearly not the case. And so it's really important to understand the difference between what is holistic and what might feel fair as the selection committee.
I think that's a really great point. Again, just going back to our earlier comments on that, you know, what is happening now in our lives as humans and what has happened historically, and knowing that we have to take those factors into account, whether it's a natural disaster or historical racism, right? That has contributed to folks having different starting lines and different access to opportunities in our country and beyond. And we just have to be aware of that and make sure that we're talking about it in these processes. So that is such a great example. Thank you for highlighting that, Anna.
That's absolutely correct. And this is one reason why Anna's involvement in our selection process is so important. She's a really important voice on our team, and I really appreciate all three of you helping to guide me and other program directors and faculty in moving forward and making ourselves and our programs better.
This has been a partnership between the University of Minnesota Medical School, Department of Orthopedic Surgery, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee, and the Medical School Office of DEI. Thank you for listening.